Sergeant York became famous in World War I for single-handedly killing over 25 German machine gun posts and capturing 132 enemy soldiers, all within about 30 minutes. His gallant effort actually opened up a vital doorway in the force of the Ardennes to allow the American military to make a three-week push up through the forest, which actually ended up bringing World War I to an end. Sergeant York is also the title of a well-known movie starring Jimmy Stewart, and I'd highly recommend it. But Alvin York was not an easy child to raise. Before he was drafted into the military at age 27, he was a hellion, especially after his father died when Alvin was 21. As a young man, he began drinking heavily and fighting constantly. He became the town's menace. One night, around the age of 25, he came home in a stupor, which he usually did on the weekends. But this night was different because his mother decided to stay up and pray for him. And so when he came into the front door in a drunken stupor, his mom was there. And his mom lovingly but firmly confronted him. At that moment, for some reason at that moment, not before, God rushed upon him, upon this rebellious young man, and broke him. And he realized in an instant that all the years of his sinfulness and drunkenness and brawling had worn his mother down. And he fell down at her feet and cried, and he promised never to drink or fight again, a promise which God helped him to keep. Interestingly, between those 2 years, between being saved and being shipped off to World War I, he helped start a church in his town and became an elder. And this was a man with very little education, and yet with his limited education, he became quite influential in his little town, and even more so after his exploits in World War I. Now, you're asking probably why I have these reserved seats, and here's why. So, if you are between the ages of 18 and 5, I want you to come up and sit in these front seats. Between 18 and 5, come on, 18 and 5, these seats are for you for the first, and you're not married. Oh, yeah, come on up. Because we have a little message. See, when I was your age, see, I got this idea. When I was your age, I'd go to church with my grandma and grandpa up in Worcester, Ohio. And at the beginning of every you know, message, he would, I need more. Okay. Bring some more chairs. Scoot over. Come on, sit on some laps, brothers and sisters. And we'd have children's church up front. So you guys are just listening here for about 15 minutes, and then warning, dads, you're up next. Yeah, you dads are all going to come up front. We're going to have a little powwow. Okay? Okay, so we've been going through the book of Ephesians, right? And we're in a really great section that talks about the family. So we've talked to moms, you know, the whole wives, and we've talked to husbands. And now we're in Ephesians chapter 6. Does anybody know Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1? What is the first word in that passage? Does anybody know? Children. Okay, so here's my question. When Paul says children, is he talking about children or to children? About or to? He's talking to children, because when Paul was writing this letter and he shipped it off to the Ephesians, when it was being written, he was imagining and preparing, anticipating that when the letter was read, he got to this part, children, he anticipated that there were going to be kids in the meeting when his letter was read. He expected it, okay? And so because of this passage, and because actually a lot of other places in the Bible, we have the kind of church where we don't take you and we kind of like escort you off to some other little room. and sing little kiddie songs and read little dumbed down verses, you know, of the Bible, you get to stay with us. You get to hang out and hear the Word of God taught and sung and those kind of things. And actually, there's a lot of places in the Bible where the kids are included. Can any of you think of some of the other passages where kids are included with the mommy and daddies? Hey, no, I'm not talking to you. Dad, you're next. Exodus? Okay, do you remember the exact situation? Okay, yep, honor your mother and father, yep. Yeah. Okay, so Jesus was talking, right? And there's a time where he was talking to 5,000 men, women, and children. Yeah. Remember when Paul, then there's another time in the book of Acts where Paul was teaching and someone fell out the window. Who was it? It was a child, a young man, actually. And you know what time it was in the morning? It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. Why was there a young man setting up with their mom and dad? Why was he sitting in the window? I would have probably fallen asleep too, okay? But yeah, he fell asleep, and then, you know, and he was dead, and Paul went out and raised him to life, and then they all went back up, and what? He kept on talking. Woo, man. Aren't you glad I'm not Paul this morning? You might be here for a while. Okay, so in the Bible, there's a lot of times where the Bible describes where the kids are included in the time of worship, and that's what we're doing this morning, okay? We're including you because the Bible has a lot of really important things to say to you, and this verse is one of them, okay? Now, children is the first word. What is the second word of the passage? Children! Oh, you got it first. Good job. Obey. Okay, so obey. How many of you have Legos at home? Okay, Legos at home. We cook. So when you buy a new Lego set, okay, you open the box and out you pull out a fully assembled Lego set that's ready to play with. Is that how it works? What? It doesn't? Well, what do you find in the box? Oh, a bunch of pieces that haven't put together. Okay, so there's three things you find when you buy a Lego set, right? You find a box with a cool picture on the outside. You find a bunch of Lego pieces, either 100 or 1,000 or maybe 5,000 if you buy a really big thing. And then you find one other thing in the box. What do you find? Oh, the instructions. Yeah, because if you didn't have the instructions, you never would put the thing on the outside of the box together, right? Yeah. So when you hear the word obey, I want you to think of like a little instruction manual, okay? Basically, obedience, you can define it as this: following the maker's instructions, okay? Following the maker's instructions. And this is important because God created you, didn't he? He created you, he made you, he fashioned you. Now, he put together the reason why you have brown hair is because God decided, I want those little twins to have brown hair. Okay? Some of you have blonde hair, okay? Some of you are short, some of you are tall. Some of you are really, really smart naturally, and others of you have really good hand-eye coordination. Guess what? Did any of you decide to do that to yourself? No. God, you didn't even decide if you were going to be a boy or a girl. Who decided that? God did. God made you, okay? Not only that, but he decided to put you at this point in history. You know, you could have been born all the way in Egypt during Pharaoh's days. You could have been born in, well, Evan was born in Vietnam, right? Yeah. Who decided that Evan was going to be born in Vietnam? God did, okay? So God decided where you were going to be born, when you were going to be born, and what family you were going to be put in, not only through birth, but also through adoption, because some of you were adopted into your family, right? And God orchestrated all of that. Now, here's a little secret, kiddos. As you get older, now right now you think that there's a lot of things you can control. But as you get older, there's actually a lot of things you can't control, okay? But one of the things you can control right now is how you respond to, first of all, God, and then the circumstances he's put you in. So the verse goes on to say this: children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your mother and father. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land. Okay, third question. Okay, we've talked about obedience. Now we're going to talk about this word honor. Third question, though. Will you always have to obey your mommy and daddy the rest of your life? Oh, wow, I'm glad you got that right. Yeah, there's going to be a time where you're not going to have to obey your mommy and daddy. Of course, the other side of the coin, parents, is that there's a time where you need to stop requiring your kids to obey you. Right? Okay. Ian, are you supposed to be obeying your mommy and daddy right now? No, because you are a married man. You are on your own. Okay? So a time is coming when you should be completely responsible for your own choices. And it's usually combined with other big responsibilities in life, like getting your own job, or living in your own apartment, or driving your own car, or buying your own food, okay? Things like that. Usually, somewhere between the ages of 18 and 22, a young person moves into being fully responsible for their own life. And a parent's role and authority fades away, and you're gonna have to stand on your own two feet, okay? There's also gonna come a time when you realize, and maybe some of you are beginning to realize this already as you're getting 16, 17, and 18, you're gonna realize that your parents didn't do everything right, okay? You're gonna begin seeing more of their flaws and mistakes and sins, and this becomes a lot more clear as you move out of a home and you have your own home. Of course, the opposite is true too. There's gonna be times, especially when you start having your own children, when you realize that your mom and dad did a lot more well than you ever gave them credit for. Okay, two sides of the same coin. Okay? Now, there's also going to come times when you're going to decide, you're going to have to decide that it's okay to do things differently than your mom and dad, even if they disagree with you. As you grow older, you move out of obedience into that area of honoring. And a day will come, and Mrs. Crawford and I know this really well because we have four grown adults. And there's times where we just have to agree to disagree with them. It's okay, okay? But yet, they're still called to honor us and kind of, you know, to some extent, we're called to honor their choices too as a mom and dad. That's what a good, healthy relationship is all about. And I want to remind you, kiddos, that one day you're going to remind you, because you already know this, remind you that one day you're going to stand before God to give an account. You're not going to stand before your mom and dad and answer to them in eternity. You're going to stand before your mommy and daddy. And that's why the verse says, "Parent or obey your parents in the Lord." Yeah. So as we're coming to the end of this time, I've got a couple other things to say. I want you to think of this. When you hear the words, children, obey your parents and the Lord, I want you to think of this phrase, obedience is a blessing. Because it wraps it up by saying that there's actually a promise attached to this command, that it may go well with you. Learning to obey your parents now sets you up for blessings years to come. Now, the Bible doesn't say that you have to agree with your mommy and daddy all the time. It doesn't say that you actually have to always understand why they're asking you to do what they're asking you to do. It simply says obey, which remember is simply following the instructions, like you do at a Lego set. Now, this assumes that your mom and dad is not asking you to do something that is in direct contradiction to God's word. In the Lord reminds you that your first responsibility is to God, second to your mom and dad. God first, and then your parents. And when you struggle relating to your mom and dad, do any of you struggle to relate to your mom and dad? Do any of you ever have this, none of you ever? Yes, you've all had moments where mom and dad ask you something, you go, inside, right? Okay, you're all gonna have those moments. I want to encourage you to go to a chapter. Actually, those of you who have your Bibles, you got your Bibles right now, look at Luke chapter 2. This is actually the only place in Scripture where you can see how Jesus responded to his mom and dad when he was your age. Okay? Now, we're not going to read over there, but read Luke chapter 2, maybe even this afternoon, and there's some really good verses in there about how Jesus had to relate to his mom and dad. And guess what? Jesus didn't always get along with his mom and dad. There's actually a story in Luke chapter 2 where there's a little bit of misunderstanding between mommy and daddy, Joseph and Mary, and Jesus. And how did he handle it? Okay? Now, here's how I'm going to close out here. Kiddos, your biggest challenge in life is not going to be with your mommy and daddies. Your biggest challenge in life is going to be with yourself. Did you know that? The greatest danger in your life is not outside of you. The greatest danger in your life is within you. And the proof was this morning that I had these reserve signs. And guess what half the kids wanted to do? They wanted to sit in the seats that said reserved. Okay? And just reminds us that when we're born, we're born in a broken relationship with God. We're born in a state where we want to naturally rebel and push God away and push our mom and dads away. So when you hear the command to obey your parents, this isn't a command for you to kind of muscle it up and prove how good you can be. Actually, this command is going to frustrate you because you can't do this on your own. You can't do this on your own. In fact, the only way for you to consistently obey this and do this, not perfectly, is to have new life in Christ. You can't muscle your way into obedience. You might be able to do it once or twice, but remember, obedience isn't simply outward, it's inward, right? So if mom and dad ask you to take out the trash and you're, is that obedience? No, because obedience is inward, not just outward. And the only way that you can have a consistent inward that says, okay, mom, I don't really want to take out the trash, but I'll do it because you ask, okay, is for Jesus to give you new life. Obedience is a blessing, okay? Obedience is a blessing. And that's the message, kiddos, I want you to learn today. Obedience is a blessing. Okay, kiddos, you can go back to your seats. Now, dads, come on up. Come on, dads, humor me and come on up to the reserved seats. You can do this. Okay, guys. Okay. What does the next verse say, though? Children, obey your parents and the Lord. But the next verse says what? Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline of the Lord. Okay, guys, I'm not going to use my little kiddo voice with you. First observation about this passage. Mothers are not included. Okay, it doesn't say moms, it says fathers. Now, be fair, the Greek word here at times, for example, in Hebrews chapter 11, when talking to Moses' parents, uses this word fathers. Okay, so it could include mothers, but I'm going to emphasize the role of parents because I think oftentimes in Scripture, the Scripture often teaches and models that parenting is first and foremost a responsibility of the dads. Okay? Dads who are biblically literate and who live under the fear of God. Okay? Now, you might choose to delegate some of your responsibilities to a school system or to your wives through homeschooling or something like that, but ultimately, it falls back on you and it falls back on me. Okay? Now, I'll say something here a little controversial. Okay? I'm going to define it. So I'm going to state it and then I'm going to define it. Okay? I believe in patriarchy to a small extent. I believe the Bible teaches patriarchy defined this way. Fathers, you are the first and foremost responsible to God. He will hold you of higher account than he will your wives. Okay? Patriarchy means that you are first in line for judgment and accountability. Head of the home does not mean first in line for to be served, but rather to serve. following the example of Christ, where he said, I came not to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom. Okay? So dads, your first and foremost responsibility is to fall under the authority of God's word and be a humble leader. Next word says, do not provoke your children to anger. You know, this is interesting. If you go to Colossians, this is the part that's repeated in Colossians. Not instruct your children. It says, do not provoke your children to anger. It says it there too. And, you know, it's interesting. We can't be, and for some reason, I think it's stated both places, because I think dads, we're the ones that tend to get angry, aren't we? Now, I think moms do too. We've all seen it. But dads, we can often get angry during our discipline. And instead of being frustrated that your children have sinned, be thankful that you were there to walk them through that moment of life. I want to say that again. When your children sin, I tell you what, and I'll be the first one to raise my hand that I have disciplined my children in sin or responded to them in anger or frustration, which is just small anger, right? You know, it's another word for anger. But when your children sins, when you are there, be thankful that you are there to walk them through that experience of life. That's what you're there for. Would you want your children to be the kind of kids that are always sinning behind your back and you never know about it? No. You want to be present in your home enough and have the relationship enough where you're there and you get to handle it rather than it being hidden. So a couple ways that we frustrate our kids. One is when we respond to their sin with sin, right? When we respond to sin with sin, that is always going to frustrate our kids and provoke them to anger. Second of all, be sure to not frustrate your children by letting them grow up. How you treat an 8-year-old should be vastly different than how you treat an 18-year-old. And guess what? Those 10 years go by like okay. Wisdom requires that you give more and more choices, more and more opportunities. You allow your children to fail as they get older. The consequences get bigger. Now, this also applies to you mommies, right? I mean, you've heard of the helicopter parents. I guess actually the new term is like bulldozer parents. Lawnmower, yeah, you just bulldoze them right over, lawnmower them right over, okay? Yeah, you lawnmower the problem so that they have, like, easy golf course lawn to walk over, okay? And trust me, we see it all the time with working with about 50 families in a running program up north, okay? Give your kids the opportunity to fail because oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes, one of the biggest things that will change their lives is not your words and your discipline, which you need to do, but it's the discipline of the Lord that he brings into their life through just the natural circumstances of a bad decision, right? Much better to have your child maimed for life than in hell for eternity. And yet we fear that something may impact the rest of their life. Yeah, it may. But if it saves their soul, how valuable is that? Thirdly, I see this often, guys, in homes. A dysfunctional pattern. Dominate, abdicate, or vacillate. I see guys in homes that dominate their homes by being strict and forceful and loud and demanding. If you have a personality that tends to be like that, it's okay. Okay? I have that kind of personality. But along with it, we have to give super amounts of grace and love. Super amounts of grace and love. Okay, I'll tell you this. Kim and I have dealt with young women with eating disorders. Almost all the time, they have a father or mother that has super high expectations and little to no relational interaction with them. If you require a lot of your kids, and there's going to be different styles and variations here, then you better meet that with as much love and attention and care for them. Because if you don't, we create a lot of issues with our kids. So if you tend to be more of a dominating dad, mix that with super high amounts of grace and affirmation and love and date nights and hugs and kisses and love notes and gifts and whatever you need to do to love that kid, learn their love language, lavish them with love if you're going to call them to super high standards, okay? But on the other case, what happens is a lot of dads abdicate, right? They just give up their leadership role in the house. Maybe it's through absence because of work or hobbies, or they're on the computer or the phone all the time. Or maybe it's this level of passivity where they just simply don't engage in the life of their kids. They let the wife do all the disciplining and all the teaching, and they just take a seat in the back. That's not good either. But the worst, guys, is this. If you're going to pick a poison, pick one. But please don't vacillate. The worst of all is go from domination to abdication. And when you get home at night, the kid never knows which dad is going to show up. That is one of the worst. If you're going to be a strong personality, own it. And make up for it with lots of love and grace. Okay? And if you tend to be more passive, maybe more introverted, maybe more insecure, that's okay. Own who you are and continue to grow and develop, but recognize you need to take a little bit more action, or maybe get a little bit more input from your spouse of how you can be a little bit more involved. But if you're the kind of guy that goes back and forth, I tell you what, that's one of the worst things, because your wife never knows who's going to show up at night, and your kids never know who's going to show up at night. Okay? You know who the perfect parent was who was never a parent? Jesus. You know my favorite parenting verse is in John. That's not even a parenting verse, but it's so applicable to parenting. Jesus was full of, it's just great, it's awesome. It's like parenting is no formula, guys. It's not a formula, but there are two key ingredients to being a great parent. Truth and grace. And great parents understand the circumstance, and they know, does this circumstance require more truth and a little bit less grace, or more grace and a little bit less truth? Not saying you're ever lying, right? But every circumstance and every person, if you read through the book of John, a fascinating study is read through the book of John and look at every interaction that Jesus has and put together some type of scale of 100, like, this situation, it was 80% grace and 20% truth. For instance, like the woman at the well, right? A lot more grace there. Now, there was truth. How about the Pharisees? Woe to you. That's like 99% truth with 1% grace. I guess the grace is that he told them, you know? Okay? Now, guys, here is the problem with being a parent. I'm just going to tell you. The worst problem, the most frustrating experience you're going to have in parenting is this. By the time you get good at it, your kids are going to be gone. I just tell you, because you're going to spend the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and by the time you got it, the kids are gone. Now, praise God, we get to be grandparents. By then, you're too old and tired to, you know, spend all day with them. Okay? Bring them up in the instruction of the Lord. That's the final phrase here, guys. What does that mean? It says, bring them up in the instruction of the Lord. Does that mean that you sit your kids down and give them a lecture every night? You might. Maybe that's part of the equation. Maybe, I'm all for family worship. But I love this, what Paul Tripp did. He said this in his book, Parenting. He said this, the only solution to your child's addiction to his own glory, which is, kids, that's your problem. You're addicted to yourself. You are. Okay? The only solution to your children's addiction to their own glory is to introduce him to a greater glory. Dads, you can only introduce your kids to a greater glory if you are smitten by the glory of God yourself. Parenting is more caught than taught, guys. The apple don't fall far from the tree. I'm just telling you. The apple don't fall far from the tree. As your kids get older, oh man, it's going to be hilarious. You guys are going to look back and say, wow, do they act a lot like me? Okay? Hey, dads, you can't give away what you don't have. Spiritual poverty in your soul will only result in sour milk and stale bread for your kids. Praise God that every one of you are here this morning. And every one of you faithfully come. I have hope for you, because one of the ingredients to growing in Christ is being a part of a Bible teaching church on a regular basis. You guys have heard these stats before. The divorce rate is as bad in the church as outside the church. Well, actually, it's not, because there's a study done recently by a lady. Let me come here. By Nancy Percy. And she wrote a book, I think, called Toxic War on Masculinity. And she actually broke the study down, that study that, divorce is as bad in the church as outside. No, it's actually not. Here's the fact. The divorce rate among committed Christian men is far, far lower than any other segment in society. Do you know the worst cases of abuse, the worst cases of divorce are? It's in nominal Christian men. That's the worst in all society. The worst abuse rates, the worst divorce rates are among men who claim Christ, and they may come to church every now and then, but then the other 6.5 days of the week, they pretty much live without Christ. And so, guys, I want to also warn you, by coming here at church, if all you do is come and hear and you don't heed, you are damning your soul. You're damning your kids. You're damaging your family more than it's better for you not to come than to come every now and then, hear a couple sermonettes, and then leave and ignore it all. I'd rather you stop coming, because it's actually worse for you to come and ignore the Word of God. Okay? Finalizing this, John MacArthur stated a study in his commentary on Ephesians. Study was done by Harvard back in the 1950s, and it had a 90% accuracy. Four factors that determine if a child would become rebellious or delinquent. One, a father who was firm, fair, and consistent with disciplining the kids. Firm, fair, and consistent. You got to have all three. Second, a mother who provided supervision and companionship during the day. Third, a mom and a dad who demonstrated love for each other. I've said this before, guys. What is the greatest gift you can give your kids? A good marriage. Date nights. Weekends away. Okay? Best advice Kim and I ever gave, and we've done it almost every year for 30 years, take a weekend away from your kids every year. Kim and I do a two-night, three-day getaway every year. Find someone to help watch the kids. Get away. Spend time together as husbands. You need it. Because guess what? When kids know that mommy and daddy aren't going anywhere, there is a culture, there is a warmth, there is a atmosphere where you can make mistakes, guys. You don't have to be perfect, and they'll give you grace because they know you love mommy and mommy loves daddy. And lastly, a family that spends time in activities together. There's just one thing I won't do with my kids. I won't play Monopoly. I'll play about everything else, but I can't stand Monopoly. Well, and Risk. Risk is just way too long. Ugh. Okay? But other things. Try some other things, okay? And just be together, having fun. It's worth it, isn't it? I tell you what, with 7 kids, 4 out of the home and 3 still yet to go, you know what? 3 of our kids love coming home. Ethan just likes to go. I mean, he shows up whenever he does, right? You know, I think he loves us, you know. Our girls love us. They come over. They hang out. They eat all of our food. I think it's the food they come over, you know, for, you know, and we just, you know, get the benefit of seeing them. But yeah, offer free food when your kids get older and they'll be over at your house every weekend. So let's pray. God, thank you for these dads. Thank you for these kids. Lord, Jesus, we need you as a church. Lord, the culture is falling apart. God, homes are an absolute mess. Children rebel. It's a sign of the times. Lord, there's more violence with children being violent to parents than ever recorded in American history. Lord, so many times, in most churches, moms bring the kids and you rarely see dads. Or if you see them for, you know, on Sundays or every other Sunday or once a month, but not the rest of the time. Lord, I thank you for these men in this up here in the front row. Lord, I thank you that they're here regularly, consistently. Lord, I don't know where each one of them are with challenges and struggles and relationships at home with the kids and their wives. But God, I pray that you would break them and mold them and shape them into godly men. God, I pray that you would mix their homes with the right mixture of grace and truth. Lord, I pray for the children that were up here a little bit ago. Lord, I'm sure there are some that are not yet born again. Maybe there are some who think they're born again. Lord, I did until I was 16. I kind of thought I was born again, and yet, God, you broke me at 16 and showed me how prideful and self-centered I was in my life. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you bring our children to salvation. God, we can't save our kids, but we can talk about you. We can model it. But Lord, ultimately, you have to save our kids, and we pray that you do that for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys. I love you. Mikey, come lead us in worship.